Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful morning. It seems like we saw a little bit of rain today, which kind of goes to show that summer is not entirely here. It is a bit chillier, but you know, it was quite warm for the past couple days. So I guess that's nice to cool off. All right, so for today's episode, I will be going through some fun facts with you guys, but this topic is going to revolve around culture because my show does emphasize on putting light and focusing on the diversity of cultures and perspectives that we all have. And so what we're going to do is we're going to learn about some different cultures through these fun facts, hopefully it will give us a very interesting discussion on these interesting fun facts. I've been reading this, these fun facts that I've prepared for you guys this episode, and it's quite interesting, very fascinating to learn about these different cultures. But I would say, though, the most impactful way to really experience this would be to actually experience it hands-on by going to these different countries and traveling. This would put me into the conversation of the summer, because it is the time where many of you guys will travel the world in different countries. You know, some of my friends are in Japan, some of them are going to Italy, or maybe most of you guys might be staying here locally, and there's a lot of beautiful places to go to in Canada alone. And so, you know, when you guys are traveling, it's definitely a very great experience to go through, you know, in times like this. And so I hope everyone is traveling safely, but at the same time, you guys are all having a lot of fun as well. Because why would you travel if you're not going to have fun? And one of the biggest funs that you can have is to try out the different cuisines and the different restaurants. And so, you know, I hope everyone's having a lot of fun, but I do know that I believe summer school is starting next week. And so, you know, some of you guys, this might be the last week to really just have a no school week. But nevertheless, I hope you guys are still having a great time and using this time to really relax and recharge from the long semester. For me, at least, I will be graduating soon. The ceremony is on May 21st. And so some of you guys, maybe I'll see you guys there. Some of you guys maybe have different dates. I do know that the graduation spans for a couple days, depending on, well, it's because that we all have different faculties and different majors, and so everyone's assigned to a different date. But an early congratulations to everybody who's successfully completed all their requirements for graduation. We are officially done. And for those of you who have just been admitted to UBC, because I know that the UBC admissions acceptance deadline probably passed already. And so congratulations to everybody who's coming to the incoming class of 2029. It's going to be a great ride for you guys. Very exciting. I remember my first experience of getting into UBC, and that summer, it was very exciting. You have a lot of things going on in your mind. You're worried about stuff, but you're also very excited. Some of you guys are probably going to be dorming. I never got the experience of dorming, but I heard it's very, very fun. You get to meet great people, a tight-knit community within those dorming experiences. You get to eat these meals with people. It's going to be fun. And so what I would say is just have the fun that you deserve throughout the summer. And just, you know, once the semester hits, you'll all just, you're all on the same page, but everyone's just going to be confused at times. And, but that's kind of the fun of it. You just get to figure it out with your friends and your professors, and it's going to be a great experience. Congratulations to the graduating class. Congratulations to the students who are going to be attending UBC this fall. And congratulations to anybody who has just finished up a successful semester as well. It is definitely a long process that requires a lot of dedication and perseverance. So I just want to say a great congratulations. All right, so why don't we get through the ads, PSAs, and the show promos for today's episode, and we'll get right into the fun facts about culture. So here we go. You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homosquim, Mustail.
Doxa, Western Canada's largest documentary film festival, returns to present the 24th edition from May 1st to the 11th. Doxa will screen a roster of timely and thought-provoking documentaries in theatrical venues across the city, bringing filmmakers and audiences together for an engaging cinema experience. The 2025 lineup showcases 39 features, 30 short and mid-length films, and industry events. Screenings will take place at the Vancouver Playhouse, the Cinematheque, VIF Center, and SFU Goldcore Center for the Arts. Head to doxa.ca to grab your tickets and explore all that Doxa has to offer this May.
Is the simple joy of riding a bike missing from your life? No worries. Ride On Bike Shop has got you covered. Ride On has the best deals in town for new and used bikes, top-notch servicing, and all the parts or accessories you've been dreaming about. Whether you've got a little one who needs to learn how to ride, or if you're about to go on the Tour de France, Ride On is the place for you. We'll also happily pick up your old bikes and recycle them back into the community. Located on 2255 West Broadway, we are open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. That's R-I-D-E-O-N Bike Shop. See you there!
Starting university is exciting. New friends, new opportunities, but it can also be difficult to navigate. Deadlines, assignments, and adjusting to a new routine can pile up. Don't wait until stress takes its toll. Get a head start on taking care of your mental health. To get started, go to Google and search for Well-Being Training and Education UBC Student Services and click on the website. Once you're there, select Mental Health, The Basics. Then click on the Mental Health Literacy Canvas course, log in using your campus-wide login, and enroll. Simple as that. This self-paced course covers well-being, stress, and coping strategies, giving you the tools to confidently navigate mental health challenges. You can also further explore your options by going to the website students.ubc.ca/health. Follow our Instagram at UBC Wellness Center to receive continuous updates as well. Stay curious, stay connected, and remember, you're never alone on this journey.
Welcome to Lethal Refresh.
I'm Danny.
I'm B.
I'm Stuff.
I'm Jay.
Let's get lethal. Let's get refreshed.
When it's darkest, we always attract the brightest people. Baby, you a light. Shift my whole world to the right.
Please listen to Lethal Refresh on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Nardor to you and Serviette and Doo-doo-loo-doo. Thank you!
Lethal Refresh, every Monday, 12 to 1 p.m. New music every week.
Re-20-20. Catch up, yeah, catch that one. I had to eat, son. Rockin' in that little tie. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful morning. It is Wednesday, so we are almost halfway, more than halfway through the week, and I hope everything is going well for you guys. It is May. We are approaching mid-May soon, and so that's very exciting. But why don't we get into today's episode? I have a couple of fun facts that I want to go over with you guys, and the topic for today is going to be about culture, and so hopefully by the time you guys finish off with today's episode, there will be some new information about culture and the differences that they all have that are very unique within each other. All right, so the first one that I have for you guys today is that it is illegal to throw out food in France. It says that as of 2016, any unsold but edible food must be donated rather than thrown away, or you could come up against the long arm of the law. So these fun facts are from the website boardpanda.com, from the article 132, Culture Facts Reflecting the Diversity and Beauty of the World. And so that's the fun fact. I mean, I guess in a way this is great because you're not throwing away food. It's better for the environment. And on top of that, if you donate it, maybe people can benefit from these. And so I don't seem to see any sort of issue with having to donate these foods when, you know, instead of going to waste. But yeah, the next one that I have for you guys is that for Nordic people, leaving small children outside to nap is very common and mostly a regular part of their daily routine, even in the cold winter. This is very, very interesting. I don't remember the last time I've ever slept outside, and I imagine it to be very cold because, you know, the night breeze is no joke. It is very, very cold, quite easily to catch a cold. But I guess if you're doing this since, you know, being as a baby in a very, very young age, you would naturally build this strong immune system that can override those breezy cold winds at night. And so in that way, that's a great skill, I guess, if you are sleeping outside frequently. I have actually haven't been camping in a long time too, so I imagine that this immunity that you might build up as a young child would help you with extreme weathers camping. But this is very, very interesting. The next one I have for you guys is in India, Namaste is the most often used daily greeting, and you do it by simply placing your hands together at the heart and you bow a little. And Namaste means the divine in me bows to the divine in you in Sanskrit. So Namaste, I feel like the first thing that you would ever learn about in a language is the greeting in any language. And so many of us probably know at least two languages in terms of how you greet. And so although I knew how to greet in in the culture of India, which is namaste, it is very interesting to learn about the gestures, because every culture has a different gesture, whether it's bowing or your hand gestures, placing it in a certain position or a certain height. It's very interesting to learn these things. And the more you know, I think the most best thing when you learn about these different cultures is to actually go to the country and use it, and for it to just go like in a daily, just a normal life, just going through the flow. And when you do that, it's just so cool, because now you feel like you're fully immersed into the culture that you're in, that you're currently residing in. And I think that's very, very cool. And I think that's why learning different cultures is just so intriguing and so fascinating, is because when you learn it and you actually use it in their culture, it feels like that culture is yours in a way, and you're kind of, you have a piece of it that you can relate to and really experience. And so I think that's kind of the beauty of learning different cultures. The next one I have for you guys is, unlike other cultures where you are typically treated two things on your birthday, the Filipino tradition is to treat your friends to things on your birthday. I really like this. I mean, some people have birthday weeks, so instead of celebrating your birthday on one day, it would span for the entire week. And so in that way, it will give your loved ones and friends and families who couldn't make it that specific day a couple more days to kind of wiggle their way in to celebrate, which is great. I mean, everybody has a different schedule. It's very, very difficult for you to come up with a specific date to celebrate your birthday. But in this case, you know, Filipino tradition is that instead of you receiving these birthday gifts, you're the one responsible for treating your friends and family to your birthday. And I think this is very unique and in a way very wholesome as well. You know, you're almost giving back to the people that have done great things and have influenced you in a very positive manner. And you're using the birthday to celebrate and give thanks to those people as well. So I think this is a very beautiful thing to do. You know, I think this is a very new way to approach your birthday, and I think it's a very great thing to see. And maybe I'll try it out as well. I mean, for me, when I celebrate birthdays with my friends, first of all, usually it's not the day of their birthday, because we all have very different schedules that we operate on. And so what we try to do is we try to catch a date within a week or two behind or after the birthday and celebrate. And usually we would treat the person whose birthday is. And so we would buy dinner, or maybe we would get them gifts. But at the same time, you know, sometimes they would, the person whose birthday it is would sometimes give us gifts or maybe make us dinner. So it's a give and take all the way, whether it's your birthday or not. And so I think it's great. You know, it doesn't always need to be about the person whose birthday it is. It could also just be giving back as the person whose birthday, because at the end of the day, it's a celebration, and the celebration can go many, many ways. And so going, you know, this way or not, it doesn't really matter, as long as the core concept of celebrating is still present. So the next one I have for you guys is tipping for services. For example, waiters or waitresses, taxi drivers might be viewed as rude and disrespectful in Japan. So I know that the tipping culture differs for you know, different countries. In Canada or in the US at least, tipping culture is quite big. And so it's a way for you to show appreciation to the people that gave you service, whether it's in restaurants or in hair salons or taxi drivers, you know, any sort of service that you receive. And so tipping is a big thing for us. It's kind of a show of respect and etiquette and just an appreciation. But in some cultures like Japan, it can be seen as rude and disrespectful. I don't quite understand why it would be seen disrespectful, rude. Maybe it might seem disingenuous because you're overpaying for the initial amount. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I grew up in a culture that has tipping. And so for me, the more you tip, the more I get to recognize how much of my service was good and an appreciation that's being shown by the customer that received the service. And so this is very interesting. I mean, I would love to learn more about why this would be viewed this way, but it is definitely very interesting to see how in some cultures it can be seen as a positive thing. In some cultures, it might not be seen as a positive thing. And so this is great. All right, so the next one I have for you guys is, in Iceland, baby names must be chosen from the official register of approved names. This is very interesting. So parents who want to pick a different name must first ask the naming committee for permission. There are very few legal requirements, one of which is that names must conform to the Icelandic language. Wow, so that's very interesting. So you have a set of restrictions or requirements that you need to consider before you name your child. I think in a way this is very great because, like it says, that it needs to conform to the Icelandic language. So in a way, the name has to follow a sense of the Icelandic culture, and so your name has some sort of tied connection to the culture that you're in. And so I think this is very cool. This just makes me want to learn more about the Icelandic language, the different cultures, and what these names have in relation to their culture, because I think this is very interesting for us. So my name, I have two names. So, you know, Jeff is my first name, and then my middle name is going to be Wonjun, which is Korean, and it holds, so each syllable has a meaning, and I don't quite know what it is, but there's a definition for each word that is being used. And so, you know, even in my culture, it's like that. And I wonder what it's like in Icelandic language. But this is very interesting to learn about. So you would have to follow these different rules or restrictions. But then again, it's very cool to learn about these names, because then you know that every person in Iceland has this very unique name that ties into the Icelandic language. So I think that's very cool. All right, the next one I have for you guys is, owning a dog in Switzerland has some rules. Your dog is allowed with you practically everywhere, in restaurants and while you shop. Some restaurants, in Canada at least, we do not permit dogs or any pets in restaurants, with the exception of the pet being a service dog. However, it seems like Switzerland, you can kind of have them anywhere you'd like. However, they are taxed. So in some cantons, depending on the dog size and weight. So dog owning rules include that they must be able to exercise, have daily contact with humans, and even get microchipped by a vet. That's interesting. What I question is how they would monitor if they are getting adequate amounts of exercise and daily human contact. I do assume that some dogs and some animals do not enjoy contact with a lot of humans. Some of them might be preferring to be alone, or maybe with just their owner. But this is very interesting that these are the requirements. And so, yeah, I mean, the microchipped one, I'm assuming that's for safety precautions, just in case they get lost. If they get lost, you would be able to find them more easily, and it's definitely a great way to have as a precaution for the dog. So in that way, I think, you know, once again, these are very interesting fun facts. So that is the rules for owning a dog in Switzerland. So moving on, this one is another one about Japan. And so in Japan, there are almost no public trash cans, but the streets are impeccably clean. This is because people carry bags to bring their trash home with them rather than using the public trash cans. This is interesting. This is very ironic because I would assume that having public trash cans would prevent people from littering. But I guess with the absence of trash cans, people become more responsible for the trash that they have. And so it would kind of work in a reverse way, where it's having public trash cans might have us be careless and just throw whatever trash that we have. And sometimes it would, you know, overflow. Because I see that all the time, is that some trash cans would overflow of trash. And that way it would just spill everywhere. And you see trash everywhere. But if there's no public trash cans at all, then I would, you know, maybe people just don't think about throwing away trash. And they would just keep it to themselves and throw it away at their own convenience, whether it's at their home or wherever there are trash cans. So this is very unique. You know, sometimes things that you might think that would work, maybe that solution is held in the reverse of the solution that you already came up with. So instead of putting trash cans, maybe having them gone might help with the cleanliness of the city. So that's very interesting to learn about. The next one I have for you guys is about Easter. So in Lithuania, the Easter eggs are not brought by a bunny. The Easter granny, also known as the Velk, delivers Easter eggs and treats to children. And children prepare for the Easter granny by leaving empty homemade eggs nests outside their homes in gardens and shrubs. And on Easter morning, they wake up to search for their hidden treasures. I really, really wish I could do an Easter egg hunt one more time. The last time I've done it was when I was very, very young. And I remember it being very fun and exciting. And the hunt to search these delicious Easter eggs were just so exciting and just a great experience. I do remember dyeing eggs, though, with different colors. And so it would make this really beautiful artwork where you have different eggs and these bright colors. You just dip them into food coloring and, you know, it would just get embedded into the white egg. So that was always very fun to do. The next one I have for you guys is related to food, is that tempura is actually Portuguese. Most Japanese of delicately fried goodness originates in Portugal. So apparently in the 16th century, the Portuguese introduced the dish to Nagasaki using the fritter cooking method, and the word tempura comes from the Latin word tempora, which describes periods of fasting during the Catholics were required to abstain from meat. Very interesting. You know, you would assume that a cuisine or a food that is Japanese originated its name from that country, but it seems like tempura is from the country Portugal. And so that's very interesting. I didn't even know that. That's a great fun fact to say, because I mean, I love Japanese food. I love it. Sushi's great. Tempura. I love fried foods. Deep fried is always great. It's a very savory food that you get. It's a very comfort. It's a comfort food, you know. And this is a great fun fact to talk about with your friends. Maybe this is something that you should mention when you're out with your friends one day eating tempura, saying tempura is not actually originated from Japan. It is from Portugal. And so you kind of go on through. So these fun facts, the reason why I love doing these fun facts is because it really sparks your interest in different cultures. And through this, it can kind of create this desire to learn more about culture and dive deeper. You know, what is the history? Not only the name and the originate and the origin of the word tempura, but what is the history of maybe shrimp? You know, why is it that we began deep frying in general? You know, how did that even come about? And, you know, Japanese cuisine that we thought tempura was, it actually originated the name from Portugal. Okay, so then what is the differences and similarities of Japanese culture in Portugal? And, you know, these are all things that you just continue on with curiosity. And through that, you get to learn so many different ideas and cultures and the way that they operate and do things and their beliefs. And through that, you really get a wider range of how the world really works and why we have so much of a different perspective and why we all carry distinct and unique ones. It's really, really fun. And I think it's a very valuable thing to do as well, since, you know, we all are different. We all come, I mean, even if we come from the same background, we're not entirely the same. And I think that goes to show how important and how just common it is to realize that diversity is just such a big part of how we live our lives. And so this constant curiosity that we should all have with learning different things is definitely a great trait to carry around, you know, through life. The next one I have for you guys is that in Egypt, asking for salt during a meal is considered rude. This not only insults the host, but insults the food. This is actually very understandable. I mean, I would, if I cook quite often, and if I were to cook for somebody and they asked for salt, I would immediately doubt the tastiness of the food that I just cooked and feel kind of sad and insecure that the person didn't really feel like the taste of the food was right for them. However, I would much appreciate somebody to critique my food in the most respectful way possible, obviously, because for me, I cook for people. It's definitely for me as well, but usually it's for people, and I want people to enjoy it. And that's my main objective, is that I want people to enjoy the food and get happiness from what I've cooked. And it should be a positive experience. And for that to happen, the food itself has to be delicious and scrumptious. And if it's not, I want to know immediately, because for the next time I cook for them, I don't want that same thing to happen. Because food is supposed to bring people together. It's supposed to bring happiness and laughter and compliments and fun stories. And if it's just terrible food, I think there is a sense of disrespect that comes from the person who made the food too, because why would you make terrible food to the people you love, you know? And so I would much rather appreciate a lot the critique of people, you know, talking about the food that I've created. Obviously, some people have very different tastes, and some cuisines have a certain taste that they need to embody. And for people that have not tried that before or are unaware of it, it may seem very unorthodox for some. And so in that way, maybe that can spark a conversation of educating them about, you know, this food is supposed to taste this way. It's supposed to taste this sour or this bland or these scents. And so in that way, it could kind of have a new experience for both sides. But, you know, if you're making spaghetti and it's unusually sweet, or if it's unusually salty or very bland or bitter, I think it's worth telling the person, you know, maybe beginning with a compliment, saying, you know, I appreciate you making the food. I really enjoy spaghetti. The noodles are very well cooked, al dente, perfect. But the sauce seems like it needs a little bit more work in terms of how you season it. You know, I think that's a great way to say it. I think the more you are comfortable with someone, the more you should mention these things, because who else would? I mean, if I just met someone, I would definitely not begin to critique, you know, the way that they make food. But if it's someone that you know and, you know, you enjoy their cooking and you want them to get better, it should be something that you should definitely mention. So, but, you know, I do see for sure how asking salt at a table for a meal that you didn't cook may seem like an insult, not only to the person who made the food, but to the food itself, maybe, you know? Like I said, some foods are meant to taste a certain way, and if you're not aware of that, it might just seem like you don't appreciate that certain culture's food, and so you have to be very careful and very cautious with your gesture and your words. The best thing, you know, I guess, is just to be open and approach things with curiosity. You know, why would this taste this way? Because some foods, they require a certain combination of another food. And so maybe a very sweet dish goes very well with this other salty dish. And that's why that dish that you just ate is very sweet, is because it complements the salt dish that you're going to eat later. And so, you know, you have to approach things with curiosity, especially with food, because you just don't know if that was intentionally made that way or not. All right. But, you know, I love tasting new foods. So, you know, there's also a very exciting part of eating something that you are not aware of. So that's very, very great as well. The next one I have for you guys is Finland associates saunas with good business. Oh, this is very interesting. I mean, in Korea at least, I have been to a sauna before. Very weird at first, because you go into the sauna completely clothes, you don't have any clothes on, and so it's a very awkward experience, but at the same time it's very cool to experience that as well. You know, you're all in there to relax and just feel the heat. And so some cultures, I mean, it's good business. Maybe it's just a way to, maybe it's because in saunas it really gets your mind to relax and get into a state of calmness and peace, because you're in a very hot and warm environment and you're sweating. And so in that way, it really gets to clear your mind. I mean, for those of you who have been to a sauna, when you go in there for 10 or 15 minutes and you're sweating and you come out to the normal air, you feel refreshed. You feel like you're almost like reborn in a sense. You know, there's a very, very sensational, refreshing feeling after you come out of the sauna. And so I really like going to the sauna. I don't do it that often, but if I do it, it's very, very great to do it. You know, it's a very refreshing feeling. All right, the next one, and this will be the last one for today's episode, is that people, this one's another one from, actually, you know what, I'm going to choose the different one. So the next one I have for you guys is that hanami, which means flower viewing in Japanese, is the custom of enjoying the beauty of cherry blossoms. This is actually a very good topic, because we recently had a lot of cherry blossoms. I don't know if they are still out there, but there were some very beautiful cherry blossoms that blossomed outside at UBC, even where I live, which is in Coquitlam as well. And it's so beautiful. The colors are so pink, and they're like light pink. And, you know, the wind is blowing, so you see cherry blossoms on the ground. It's very, very beautiful. But hanami means flower viewing, and it's the custom of enjoying the beauty of cherry blossoms. And it seems like it is often associated with public picnics, gatherings of friends and family with food and beverages under the trees. I haven't been on a picnic in a very, very long time. I would love to go on one because of the fact that you get to bring your own food and you get to try, you know, your friends' foods. It's very a fun experience. But I don't know if I would be a big fan of having a picnic under a tree, especially cherry blossoms, because the wind does take the petals away. It detaches it from where it's, in the branch, and so it falls down. So I don't know if that would disrupt the eating that would be going on during a picnic, but I assume that it is very beautiful to actually be under a cherry blossom tree and spend some time with your friends and family, because that does seem like a very good time. But yeah, for those of you, maybe you can say hanami, which means flower viewing, to people when you're going to go flower viewing with them. And that is a great phrase to learn. All right, so those are the culture fun facts that I want to go with you guys. Some of them were from Japan, Portugal, Iceland. There's so many different countries that have different cultural insights that you can learn from. And so, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed those culture fun facts. The next couple portion of the show, I have a couple songs that I want to turn on for you guys. This will be a continuation of the band Land of Talk. And so I hope you guys enjoy. This is still the album called Life After Youth. The first song that I would like to turn on for you guys is called What Was I Thinking? So I hope you guys enjoy this, and I'll see you guys soon. That was What Was I Thinking by Land of Talk. The next song I have for you guys is called Heart Spiritual Intimidation. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. Here we go.
Solitary. Such as my freedom has no end. Life, it slips by, it rushes past, and then it's over. How you gonna live? How you gonna live? How you gonna live if you can't love? How you gonna live if you can't love?
That was Spiritual Intimidation. The last song I have for you guys is called Hardcore. I hope you guys enjoy this. Here we go.
Say you do, you only got two.
That was Heartcore by Land of Talk. That's it for today's episode, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. I'll be back soon with another great episode. Have a safe and lovely afternoon, and I'll see you all soon. Goodbye, everyone.